T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Good morning, everybody. Oh, what a great day to be great. Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz, Ryan Horvath stopping by here for the Horvath Happy Hour. BetQL Daily again later today. Horvy, you just missed my, remember my story when I went to the domes and it was hotter than I thought?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yesterday I went to the zoo and guess what? It was hotter than I thought.
You went to the zoo yesterday? You should have told me. I could have got, how much did you pay to get in?
Oh, we screwed up. We both parked our car.
Oh man, I have zoo passes, just so you know.
Yeah, what?
Yeah, I buy the zoo pass. That's the one thing that, I don't mind leaving the house for. It's a good activity, and I'm going to be using it a lot now that Nathan could kind of move around a little bit without his walker. He's gained like 15, 20 pounds. It's kind of funny. He's 7 years old, but he's a little chunk, and I keep finding him hiding, stealing, and eating more and more candy. And we just had Easter last Sunday, so my wife is extremely angry because my mother sent over, I'm talking like, Bart, we have like 50 pounds of sugar and candy in this one box. There was Sour Patch Kids, Snickers, Peeps, which nobody in this house eats. I used to when I was a kid. Worst candy ever. So my kid has put
it's
out
pretty
like
bad. Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, so my kid at 7, he's like Ben Stiller in Heavyweights. So I got to get him out and about. But I just purchase the Zoo Pass every year. It's like my favorite thing to do around here in the summer.
I'm totally going to buy one when... You know, my kid's year and a half.
Right, exactly.
So he just liked to walk around a little bit, and, you know, he saw a giraffe, and it was, like, cool for him. I saw giraffes, like, get intimate with each other.
Oh, did you have to explain the birds and the giraffes
no,
and bees?
No, still too young to explain giraffes and bees
yeah,
to my 20-month-old.
So a funny story, before everything really went down, my wife, my mom came to visit. My wife, my mother, and Nathan went to the zoo on a day where it was kind of chilly, but they just wanted to get out of the house. I think I was watching basketball or football all day, something like that. So they actually go to the zoo, and there were like no animals out. Like, you know, when you go and there's just like, you know, just one of those days where none of the animals want to come out. So I think he saw a giraffe. And I'm like, hey, buddy, what did you see at the zoo? And he goes, oh, daddy, I saw a man eating in a garbage can.
Oof.
So his biggest takeaway was that he saw somebody picking around for trash.
Yeah, there were like no animals out yesterday.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You got to go like at the right time in the summer because sometimes...
Well, how do I know what the hell the right time is?
June, July, when a million other people are there, it's sticky, it's hot, you don't want to be there, it's packed lines.
Like, where the hell were the elephants? Like, they're just hiding?
Yeah, that's a great question. I never know where anything's at. Like, but the last couple times, we haven't seen a whole lot. I like the penguins.
Well, yeah, the penguins are always out. They're desperate for attention.
See, I love the Milwaukee, and I love the zoo here, and it's right down the street from my house. I buy the zoo pass. But the one knock I have on it is they don't have dolphins and they don't have a dolphin show. So that's why I still go to Brookfield Zoo, because that's the best part, man, is the dolphin show. How do you not have a dolphin show? How do you have a zoo but no dolphins? Dolphins, Penguins are those are the only animals I actually really like, to be quite honest with you.
Well, I feel like the zoo. See, I like the zoo because, you know, my son reads all these books and sees TV, and then now, you know, he gets to see the animals in real life. What a cool thing. But also, the zoo is a prison for animals, and I feel really bad about that.
I just hate that we can't tailgate before we go into the zoo.
Oh, I know. I'd love to tailgate. And like, it's safe. I mean, if I'm at my car, it's safe.
Remember when you told everybody that, you know, opening weekend, there probably wasn't. Here's our new segment for the day, where Bart was right.
Yeah.
When everybody was freaking out because for three games, they couldn't, you know, cook their sausages and their bratwurst 8 feet in front of the stadium. Everybody freaked out. You know, we were able to get back to the ballpark. I thought that would make people happy, but still, you got to wear a mask to your seat. Oh my God, the horrors. You can't grill out of the stadium for a whole whopping 3 games. And you told everybody it's going to be like this for the opening series, and then tailgating will be back. And still, people freaked out. People spent more time complaining about not being able to tailgate than the amount of time it took for the Brewers to announced that there will be tailgating. Like, it was 72 hours and tailgating's back. So I'm glad. So that's over. Thank God.
Well, I just don't, like, I do wonder this. I'm right about a lot of stuff. And I try so hard to get it out there. I told everyone, tailgating will be back, like, so soon. Just relax. But everybody wanted to freak out about it. Is that because we just like, and then while tailgating, but can we celebrate that we're back in the ballpark? Like, dude, I'm telling you right now, if you have felt cooped up in any way over the last year, get to the ballpark. I think what they're doing, I think it's safe. I don't think you'll have any problems. You know, everybody that I saw there on opening day was well-behaved outside of the typical drunks, which, you know, that's part of the fun. But, like, it just felt so good to be somewhere with that many people. That, like, the zoo yesterday, all right, I probably would have a better time at the zoo if it wasn't 80 degrees in Tulsa and 50 degrees by my house on the east side. Because it was hot. I went in sweatpants and a winter hat like I always wear. Big mistake.
Yeah.
But it's good. And the ballpark, man, there's just something about it because you kind of do take for granted how much maybe you've gone there in the past. So instead of being like, wow, we're in the ballpark, it was, I didn't get to have the hassle of setting up my grill and then forgetting the ketchup and then, I got to dump the charcoal out. And it's like, it's coming back. It came back. Relax. And then I was said, well, don't you think everyone complaining made it come back? And I said, no.
Yeah, no. We complained about no fans at Lambeau.
This was always the plan. This was always the plan. They were going to bring it back. They wanted to make sure it was safe first in the ballpark. It is. Yeah. And now they're like, all right, well, we can tailgate. And they probably, like, if you're going to bring tailgating back, if you're going to be a baseball team and you're like, tailgating, should we do it? Well, we're in a pandemic. Okay, well, let's do it. But we want people to stay at their cars. And we know that there'll be some mingling. But we really want to try to get this done safely. Are you going to introduce that on the fourth game of the season, or are you going to introduce it on opening day when people are looking to get wasted? No, you're going to wait a series. All is fine. Yeah. All is well.
Exactly, man. Exactly.
Now, sausages should be inside racing. That I'll complain about for hours. There's no reason they're not inside.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'll say this. Like, I like tailgating as much as the next guy, so I'm glad that it's back. I'll tailgate a few games this year, but everybody that wasted 5, 7 days, 8 days, 2 months, 3 months of content on the tailgating topic, I will be at the ballpark a lot this summer. I want to see them tailgating. I want to see burgers, sausages, Italian sausages, Croatian sausages, Slovenian sausages. I want to see them at the ballpark at least 60 games this year tailgating for the way that they reacted, hearing that they weren't going to be able to.
Yeah, they better be there, and they better be at every day of Summerfest.
Yep.
They better be. Are you going to complain that this stuff is going away? You better take advantage of it. Don't be like, you know, society where everybody's mad when a restaurant closes. Well, when's the last time you went there? Oh, I never went there. I just liked that it was open. Well, I'll go there.
Again, this goes back to we just like to complain about things. Anyway, all right.
Well, let me read this tweet. Spencer says, yeah, it was that opening day. It felt like a dream to be there. I didn't realize how much I missed it. It was therapeutic. It really, dude, I'm telling you, like I sat in the media place because I'm, you know, an elitist now being in the media. So it was fun to be in the press box. But the 10 minutes that I spent just kind of like walking around, that is when I felt the most, I just felt good to be there. Now, one thing they might want to work on is when the game's over, they try to keep everybody so separate. And then when the game's over, everybody bottlenecks to the escalator down. So all this work you do to try to keep people separate and you're selling in pods and no tailgating. Hey, at the end of the game, just all crowd each other on your way out.
Yeah, ridiculous, dude. It's something. It definitely is. It's something. I got to be honest, though. I'm really looking forward to today, to tomorrow, and this weekend.
Yep, me too.
But I won't be tailgating. And
oh,
I probably to be quite honest, I don't think I'll leave my couch.
Why is that, Ryan?
Well, tomorrow I will.
Yeah, why is that?
Hey, I didn't hear you there. Well, hello, friends.
Oh, yeah, I didn't do that yet, where I play the music and say hello, friends. Amy Lawrence did it this morning. BJ and, you know, everybody's been doing it across the state today. I still haven't done it yet. I'm waiting for a little bit later. I gotta get my nerves up. It's nervous because in sports radio, on the Masters, the first day of the Masters, you have to do the music and say hello, friends. Just like you have to play the March Madness music. There's just things you have to do. It's just part of the gig. I just haven't done it yet.
Yeah, you kind of screwed up. Did you make any picks? Who do you think's winning it?
Okay, so I did make some picks for the Masters, which have teed off. And I don't know if we've got anybody yet that's finished a hole, but the Masters teed off at 7 today. So my DraftKings lineup and my FanDuel lineup and my pool lineup is all pretty much the same. And I'm a little nervous because I went with, like, I feel like I went with some picks that are commonplace. I listened to You Better You Bet. Did you guys talk to James Mazzola on BetQL?
No, we didn't. We had the Bear on yesterday and a couple other guys, but no,
he was on
You Better You Bet.
Who's the Bear like?
Same. He likes JT this weekend as well. He likes JT. He's not so high on Jordan Spieth. I don't want to say he's fading Jordan Spieth, but he's not picking him to win. JT and Rahm, so the identical picks that I have, which always works out great when everybody agrees on the same guys. But he likes John Rahm, who is a new father, plays the course very well. Obviously, course history, approach, very important at Augusta. And then he likes JT, as most of us do. Would you be surprised, like, would you be shocked if DJ won it again?
Oh, I think everybody's down on DJ.
I know, that's what I mean. And you know who else everybody's down on? I mean, rightfully so right now is Brooks Koepka, because he just had knee surgery and he really probably shouldn't even be playing right now. And, you know, it's obviously a very hilly course. So that's something to look out for, because obviously he can't ride in a cart. He has to walk all 18 holes up and down those hills pretty much on one leg. But I still, because it's Brooks Koepka, I wouldn't be shocked if he won the damn thing. Everybody's counting him out. I wouldn't be shocked. I also would not be shocked. And last minute here, I don't know if I want to do it. I don't know if I want to add a third golfer. I could also see Bryson winning this weekend.
Yeah, well, if you can hit far, I mean, this course is good for that.
Right, exactly. That's why I like John Rahm hitting bombs. And I like Bryson a little bit. But we all loved Bryson in November. I keep saying last year, but we'll say in November, and he was a bit of a disaster because he just hasn't really figured this course out yesterday. And course history is so important at Augusta. That's why it's so predictable every year. Like, you really can't find great value. I might take a shot with Webb Simpson, but you can't go like down the leaderboard to some of these guys that you've never heard of, or, you know, you're not going to play Ricky Fowler or anybody like that, because it's just a waste of money. Because at the Masters, it's going to be the top 10 guys. Top 15 guys.
Well, yeah, that's fine if you're betting, but then if you're like in these, you know, DFS, it's hard because you can't just stack all the favorites. I did take John Rahm.
Okay.
I did go with Patrick Reed.
Yeah.
I do like Spieth. I know that because he lost last week or won last week, and people might be, oh, he's not going to win 2 weeks in a row. But he's playing good golf, so I like him. And then I filled it in with, like, Abraham Anser. Nick Costos was high on yesterday.
Yep.
And then the cheap guys, I took Zach Johnson. Not the former Brewers pitcher that was Zach Jackson. And then Matthew Wolf. Remember him? He was, like, in that one match they did that no one ever heard of. And they're like, oh, Justin Thomas. Like, oh, this guy's as good as me. And then he, like, never makes the cut.
Yeah. See, okay, so with Jordan Spieth, I don't really think it has anything. Like, I like him this weekend, too. I just feel like because everybody likes him. And because, I mean, the thing with Spieth is if I was going to bet on him, I could have had him last month at 40-1. Now he's the overwhelming favorite. You know what I mean? So I just kind of missed the boat on that one. I missed the value. But, I mean, if you look at it, the last time he won the Masters was in 2015. And the week before that, same tournament in Texas, he tied for second. So he didn't win it, but he tied for second. And if you look what he's been doing, he's like legitimately the best golfer, one of the best golfers on the planet. He's gained more than 10 strokes on the field in four of his last six events. You know, he's leading the field right now in strokes gained. He's leading he's all over the place. So I don't hate him this weekend. I wouldn't be shocked if he won. I couldn't do it because I missed the value on it pretty much. But it's funny because I bet Spieth every tournament, every year, pretty much since 2015. And then it looked like he just completely lost it. And now he's back on top of the world again. That's how crazy golf is. Like, remember, I mean, well, obviously, but Tiger had the off the course stuff issues. But then he came back and he was like a shell of himself. He was broken down. He had the back injury. Didn't look very good. And then a couple years back, he wins the Masters. So golf is so weird like that. But I guess I'll say I'm out on Spieth this weekend.
How much do you think the Masters will miss Tiger this weekend? I think that obviously his presence enhances the Masters. The Masters is a tournament that, you know, it can happen in November and it's still a big deal. It just, it's a bummer that Tiger's not there. The report was that he was speeding. And then I guess when he, instead of trying to brake, he accidentally hit the accelerator, which we've all been there, honestly.
Yeah.
So Tiger's still like messed up. I think Rory went and sat with him for like an afternoon recently, or one of those guys did, because they're like, they're all boys with Tiger now.
Rory is, and then JT, which is another reason, like kind of narrative based. So obviously, like, I have the numbers, the stats, the metrics that I like when I pick my golfers, but also I do look for a good storyline, obviously. And John Rahm, he just had a baby, which, you know, gives you the Fred Van Vliet vibes when he has a kid and then doesn't miss a shot in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Bucks or in the NBA Finals against the Warriors. And then with JT, with Justin Thomas, him and Tiger are really good buddies as well. So that's why I really like JT, because I could just see him this Sunday being in contention, them flashing photos the whole time of him and Tiger hugging it out, hanging out. Oh, and plus he had the win at the Players, and he's improved his finishing position every year since 2016 at this tournament, including last year when he finished fourth place, 12th the year before that. Great iron player and great storyline. So there you go. You could, when you make these picks, you could look for a narrative, and you could look at the metrics and in the statistics and the numbers.
We've got a leaderboard at the Masters, Horvy.
Hit me with it.
Hudson Swafford is even through one.
That would ruin my all my bets. I don't know who that guy is.
Michael Thompson is one over through one.
Don't know who that is.
And that's it. More with Ryan Horvat. 414-799-1250. You can tweet us. 1250 AM The Fan. 1250 AM The Fan from the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios. Bart Winkler. Ryan Horvat. The Horvat Happy Hour rolls on. Hey, do you believe in the no-hitter jinx, my friend Ryan?
No, I don't believe in it. But I did see the Brandon Woodruff when they had the bottom graphic that he had a no-hitter, what, through six, that then he gave up a hit. So I don't believe in it, just like I don't believe in the free throw jinx. You know what I mean? Stephon Marbury here, he's a 95% free throw shooter. He never misses, clank. I don't believe in it. But I also, I don't really knock people that do believe in it or that are superstitious. Do you?
No, I don't believe that I can say Brandon Woodruff has a no-hitter going and suddenly it's gone. But
yeah,
I like that in baseball. It's just kind of a part of the culture. So I like that we all don't say it like a part of the culture. But then people were mad at Kashan yesterday because he was saying that people have gotten mad at Brian Anderson before.
Yeah.
He says it.
And I love those guys, especially Brian Anderson. I love him. On the take. I love that. He should get that trademarked. On the take. On the take. When he's calling NBA or college games. He loves on the take.
And he loves not calling Steph Curry Steph Curry.
Does he call him Stephen?
All the time.
That weirds me out a little bit, right?
And we go live to Stephen. Hey, Stephen. At least he didn't call him Wardell like that one reporter.
I'm always like, who the hell is Steph? At least he calls Giannis Giannis and not Yanni.
Hey, Yanni. 3-point basket, Yanni.
Yanni to the cup. But no, you know what? I don't like when the broadcast. Okay, so that's a good question. I don't believe in it, but I also don't like when the broadcasters bring it up. Like for the no-hitter, for example. You can't come in the fifth or in the sixth or the seventh inning and say, and Brandon Woodruff, perfect through seven. You can't do it. Not that you're jinxing it. I don't believe in that. Because if life was that easy, I'd be like, you know, the Knicks aren't winning by 4.5 points right now. Boom, fourth quarter, they win by five. I win $500. I wish life was that easy. It's not. But at the same time, I don't like when the broadcasters bring up it's an unspoken rule, right? Or it is a spoken rule, I guess you could say.
Well, it's just a fun thing with the game.
Like yesterday, what I'll do. And, you know, my son didn't really care yesterday, but I will wait for the mini box score to pop up and you'll see the score. And then obviously you'll see the hits and it'll say, you know, Cubs 3 hits, you know, or I'm sorry, Brewers 4 hits, Cubs 0 hits. And what I'll do is I'll just point to the zero. And when my wife's home, I always say, something's happening. Something is happening. And
yeah,
I'll point
you know, it. I don't like, we won't say no hitter, but then we go out of our way to. So we still talk about it when we don't talk, like, hey, something's happening, or like, hey, so the Cubs, the bat has not connected with the ball to land in the field yet. How about that? So we're basically saying no-hitter, but we're not. I had a buddy text me after the sixth inning yesterday, and he said, because Woody had a no-hitter through six, and then every Brewer, by the way, has had one. You're not a Brewer until you have a no-hitter through six. But he texted me, are you superstitious? And I'm like, just... do you want to talk about the no-hitter that's going on right now or not? He's like, it's happening today. He said, there's not a chance in hell that the Brewers ever throw a no-hitter in our lifetime again, friend. And then the next batter, Ian Happ, got the no-hitter broken up. Yeah. So Brewers, I mean, if I've been to one game, I've been to 1,000. I've seen Dave Bush go 6, no-hit. I've seen Chase Anderson go 6, no-hit. I believe I've seen Zach Davies go 6, no-hit. I've seen all these guys go 6 no hit, and then they, you know, they always give up the hit in the seventh. So if we got through the seventh yesterday, if the Brewers got through the seventh, then I would start to think, all right, we might have a no here. But after six, I need one more inning.
Yeah, see, and that's the thing. Like, I always try to make a big deal out of it, and that's why I do the point, because I'll try to get like my wife or my son as invested in the no hitter as I am. But I feel like. It isn't just them. You have to. I try to get like everybody invested because I feel like nobody cares about no hitters anymore. Where growing up, if anybody, it could have been Randy Johnson in Seattle. It could have been Greg Maddux when he was in Atlanta. It didn't matter if it was your team, one of your favorite pitchers. Didn't even have to benefit your team. Wasn't going to hurt your team. If somebody had a no hitter going through six, going through seven, like your dad, one of your uncles, somebody would get in touch with you. And be like, all right, you got to turn this on. And then you turn it on. Now we get like 6 or 7 no-hitters in perfect games every year. It's like the triple-double. Like we used to make a big deal about when guys get triple-doubles. Now Giannis pretty much averages a triple-double. Hell, Russell Westbrook a couple years back averaged a triple-double when he won the MVP. So it kind of took away a little bit. But I still obviously think they're really special. I get into them. But I don't believe in jinxing it. To go back to your original question, but I still think as a broadcaster, I think you just leave it alone.
Oh, dude, I have a stat on triple doubles I've been waiting to
In
mention.
My opinion,
I've been waiting to mention for a while. I have a stat on triple doubles. Here you go. If it seems like triple doubles are happening more often than ever, they are by a huge margin. On average, the NBA has seen someone put up at least 10 of this, 10 of that, and 10 of those in one out of every seven games this season. So every night, that means there's pretty much a triple double happening. The rate of them happening is 40% up over last season and 700% over how often they occurred 9 years ago. In the 2011-2012 season, there were 18 triple-doubles the entire year.
Yeah.
And now there's one every seven games. Fascinating. Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz, Ryan Horvat. I'm going out to Ron in Rome. Ron, good morning.
Yeah, hi, thanks. The reason I called was I know Tim Allen was complaining that they took Brandon Woodruff without giving him more of a chance to get a no-hitter. And I think you mentioned that too. But I actually took a screenshot of his last, when he was pitching the last time, because he was getting pretty wild and his balls were going way outside the strike zone. And then he said on Tim Allen's, we played it, that he was getting tired and wanted to come out. So it wasn't like when they took Ben Sheets out. I remember he was mad. I think it was actually in the ninth inning. And that's another reason why people don't get excited about no-hitters anymore, because they're counting no-hitters as when you might have three or four pitchers. I mean, that's different than when a pitcher used to pitch a complete game no-hitter. That was really something.
Yeah, with Woodruff, at first, Ron, I was like, whoa, here, it's 74 pitches. This is less than he pitched opening day. And then I know that this season they're very cautious about the pitchers, you know, especially early. So if it was that, I was like, well, let's not be overcautious here. But Woodruff after the game said, yeah, dude, I was gassed. I was exhausted. You know, it was just 74 pitches, but I was exhausted. And look at what he's gone through already this season. He had opening day, which was adrenaline town USA. And then you go from opening day with fans, adrenaline, and then now the next second game you have, you're throwing a no-hitter through six. So, yes, you know, saying afterwards he was tired, I get it. I wish they would have kept him in longer, but it just wasn't going to happen. He was gassed. So initially, yeah, I was like, why are you doing this at 74 pitches? But if the dude's gassed, the dude's gassed.
And another reason is, I think, you know, as baseball goes along, we're just having less hits per game in general. I mean, it used to be really something to get a team to not get too many hits, but now they're striking out 30, 40% of the time anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, and then I remember when Josh Hader in the wild card game, he was pitching kind of wild, and I wish they would have taken him out. And then he gave up that home run, and then they blamed the game on Trent Grisham, who we would like to have on the team now, but he's missing. So I think Craig did a good job taking him out.
Yeah, it all worked out in the end. Ron, thanks for the call, 799-1250, 414-799-1250. But again, Woodruff, opening day, adrenaline, and then you go to this no-hitter through at least six.
Yeah, well, we knew that this was coming this year, though. I mean, that's what I was talking about yesterday when the Brewers traded Arcia for two pitchers that we've never heard of. You want as many arms as possible this year, especially after coming off that fake season last year, 60 games. A lot of these guys right now just aren't prepared. They aren't built to go 8, 9, 7 innings even, throw 100 pitches. See, I think this will change once we get closer. If this is a pennant chase, you know, if this is August, hell, if it's even July, we're in the postseason, Brandon Woodruff's probably not coming out of that game. But again, that was his second start of the season. He's your opening day starter. He's with Corbin Burnes, one of 1A, 1B, two of the most, you know, he's your most important pitcher. I'll put him right there, obviously, with Corbin Burnes. So you're not going to gas him and burn him out on his second start. And especially against the Chicago Cubs, because Bart, you or I could honestly go in there in relief and they're not going to hit anything. That team, they need to blow it up. What do they have?
The Cubs?
Three hits? Yeah, the Cubs. They need to blow it up.
Hey, what was with Jack Peterson pretending like he hit the first home run ever in the modern era?
Well, that was his first home run as a Cub, and he got a waffle maker out of it.
Yeah, what's that about?
That's their tradition.
Going back to when?
I'd want to say 2017, 2018, maybe, when Joe Maddon was still there. I really don't even know.
I like it. I like it. If you give a guy a waffle maker for his first home run, I can get down with that tradition. I like that.
Yeah, it's just, you know, one of those weird things that you do in baseball. It's a 162-game season. You got to stay loose. You're around the same guys all year. But yeah, I mean, the Cubs, they can't hit. And so I think they're going to blow it up. And I think Chris Bryant's going to get moved very soon. I think they'll probably extend Javi Baez. I think they may give Anthony Rizzo, if they could work something out, the Lifetime Achievement Award and make him a Cub for life. But honestly, I would have taken Woodruff out in that spot too, because you saw it yesterday. They continue to look for one pitch. All they want to do is look for four seamers and hit home runs. You throw anything off speed at that team, and everybody in that lineup is the same guy, 1 through 9. So I would have taken Brandon Woodruff out as well. Also, doesn't it feel like, you know, yesterday when I came on the show, I said, take the Brewers today and take the under. Did I not?
You did, yeah, Ryan Horvath. We should do a segment when Horvath was right.
We should, but unfortunately, that would be a four-hour show every single day. I made people $500 before it even hit 8 a.m. yesterday, if you would have just parlayed those two. So I feel like every Cubs-Brewers game, so those series is, like, even with the Cubs doing whatever they're doing right now, like, are they rebuilding? Are they – I don't know what they're doing. But all the games are the same game, and it remains one of the best rivalries in baseball. I really think so. They're always pitcher duels. You know, it's always you get, like, Hendricks and Woodruff, and they'll go six strong. Neither – they give up a combined two hits, no runs, you know. But I don't know. I just feel like they're very well-played games. But doesn't every Brewers-Cubs game – kind of seem the same, like, especially the good pitching matchups, right? Like, if you get Hendricks and Woodruff, or if you get Burns and, well, I don't even think who do the Cubs have now? Jake Arrieta. But you get, like, those two opening day series games where it's, like, 1-0, 2-0, 2-1, you know, a pitcher's duel. And then you get, like, the one stinker where it's getaway day and one team doesn't care. But we didn't get that this series. So I just thought, you know, a really well-played series. And, yeah, I had a lot of fun watching it. It's good to have baseball back, man. It really is.
Well, people forget the Brewers and Cubs play 9 times this month.
Jeez, 9 times just this month. Now, do you like that? Or do you, like, let me ask you this. Do you even care about the Cubs? Do you care about the Cubs this year? Because, again, they don't.
I don't know. I don't. The Cubs, I've talked about this. They were my first favorite team ever because they were on TV all the time, and it was they were in the NL. Brewers were in the AL. And so I liked the Brewers and the Cubs. And I watched the Cubs every day because they were on TV. And I watched the Brewers and went to County Stadium as much as I could. And I collected cards of both teams. I loved them. It's not that I hate the Cubs. Like, they won the World Series. And I have a lot of family members and friends that root for the Cubs. So I felt good for them. I don't like Cubs fans.
Okay.
Wilson Contreras got hit on accident 2 days in a row on accident. Okay. Every Cubs fan believed for sure that the Brewers were out to get him. Come on. That's what I don't like.
Well, I don't know. If I got hit in the head and walked it off to first base and just let it go and then got hit the next day, even if I leaned into one, I'd still be pretty upset. But that's a story for another day. Yeah, no, I didn't mean, like, do you care about the Cubs? Like, are you going to go out and get a Chris Bryant jersey or a Rizzo
jersey? I might get a Dan Winkler jersey, though. That's a storyline here on the show.
I meant, like, do they scare you at all anymore? Like, does anybody in the Central even really scare you? You know, I mean, St. Louis? You know, Cincinnati looks all right so far. I feel like we wrote them off. I feel like, what a weird organization and team. Like, last year, we all, during a pandemic, bought into Cincinnati because they spent a bunch of money. They have Sonny Gray, spent money on Moustakas, Nick Castellanos. And then, you know, we go into this season, everybody's like, I don't think they're going to be any good. So baseball's so weird. Like, is it not the weirdest sport ever, though? Like, the Cubs are a great example of that. You just brought it up. They won the World Series in 2016. All these kids, they were kids at the time. Chris Bryant, Javi Baez, Contreras. They were all 23, 24 years old. And you said, oh, man. Here comes a dynasty from the Cubs. Brewers aren't doing anything anytime soon. They win one World Series way too early. They peak way too early. And then since then, they've all regressed. So it's crazy. Like, and that's why it's so hard to look at these prospects. And that's why I hate when we freak out about, like, trading prospects. Now, I didn't want to trade Trent Grisham, and I think rightfully so. But, like, we spent, like, 4 years. And I'm not saying Keston Hira is not going to be a great player. But we always... You know, if you see, like, a potential trade, and it's like the Brewers could acquire Madison Bumgarner or Garrett Cole, they'd have to add in Keston Hira. And now we've actually seen Keston Hira at the big league level. But we always, like, are afraid to trade away these prospects, and then they come up and they have great years. But then, like, year two, these guys get figured out a lot of the time. So that's why, you know, baseball is just such a weird game. And I guess what I'm asking you is, do you think Castaneda is ever going to get a hit again? Do you think he's ever going to not strike out? And should I trade him for my fantasy baseball team? Because he's the only guy on my entire team that has negative points. He has not contributed one thing to my team, nor the Brewers this year, has he?
My question is, who sent you that email?
You know what? So, yeah, sorry about that. I switched computers this morning. And so I don't know. You know, I just got you an Apple. I just got you a Mac.
Yeah, the camera, I thought it was going to be better than what it is, though.
Well, which one? We'll talk about this off air. You could talk to my wife about that, okay?
Or, I FaceTimed my brother on my new Mac, and he's like, why is your camera so bad?
No, it's probably your internet that's bad, or it may have been his connection that's bad, though. Did you check either of those things?
Bro, my internet is, I got the fastest internet. I got 9 VPNs.
Yeah, I did that too. I don't know that it makes that big of a difference.
My internet's got more power. I got Binford Tools internet.
I think that's a little bit of a ripoff. But so were you jumping up and down yesterday on the Lorenzo Cain home run, or were you just like, let's get this game over with?
Well, I do want to talk about Kesson in a second, but I hate that I love the extra innings rules. I love it. I love that a guy starts on second. I hate it that I love it, but I love it.
Yeah.
I wasn't necessarily jumping out of down. I was trying to stay awake. My son hurt his knee yesterday. He got his first knee scrape.
Jeez.
Yeah. So then
at the zoo?
No, when we got home.
Ah, okay.
So then to make him feel better, I obviously put the TV on in front of his face. Right. So I had the TV on in front of his face. And I laid down on the couch with him because anytime I can sneak a cuddle with him, I will. And so I put the Brewer game on my brand new MacBook Air that you helped me get.
Yeah.
And I put that on like the coffee table. But then I started dozing in and out of sleep. Mm. So then I woke up and saw Lorenzo Cain being interviewed.
Dude, I've had that problem lately. I can't sit.
I missed it.
I can't. You missed the homer?
Oh, I missed the whole 10th inning.
Oh, man, that sucks.
So I fell asleep on the couch.
Yeah, that happens. You know, that's what happened to me a lot, but more so at night. I'll get really excited for actually, I think I told you this story. I'll get excited for like a big game, or I'll like wait on a Saturday for one specific game. Maybe I have a bunch of money on it. It was the Georgia Tech ACC title game for me this season. I don't think I told you this because I was kind of embarrassed. You texted me. I actually found out that I won $1,400 from you. Because I waited all day, and my kid went and stayed back in Illinois with my parents for the weekend, and I was so excited because I had that Georgia Tech ticket. Nobody believed in them to win the ACC championship game. Should they have been in the ACC championship game? No, but we know how that went down. Virginia caught COVID. They got a free pass there. So I wait all day. I sit on the couch, man. The first half is a close game. I wake up. I look at the clock. It's 1:05 a.m. I'm like covered in sweat, and SportsCenter's on my television, and I check my text messages, and you're like, they did it. They did it. Did what? Won me $1,400. Georgia Tech won the ACC title game. But, dude, I sit in this one certain spot on my couch, and I don't know if it's like – I've Googled this because I'm like, am I getting old? Because I used to get really pissed because I'd want to watch movies with my dad, or I'd have like a movie night, like when I'd go to my grandma and grandpa's, and my grandpa, 5 minutes into it, would fall asleep, like everybody's grandpa. And then, you know, you wake him up and you say, I'm not sleeping, I'm just resting my eyes. But it drove me nuts. And my wife, the same thing. Like when we watch movies, she falls asleep and it pisses me off. Now I do it though. And I don't know why. It's this one certain spot of my couch. I could watch any game and I sit there and 10 minutes into it, I'm just out. And I mean out, like not like you're out for 10 minutes and you wake up like, oh no, I missed this. I mean, like, out for hours.
It's, what did Google say when you Googled it?
I could have sleep apnea. I should probably. I could have, I mean, then I end up on WebMD and I need my arm chopped off.
Yeah, you're looking for, is there some fun anecdotal spot in the couch thing? You have a disease. Oh, my God. What am I doing? What am I doing? 799-1250, 414-799-1250. Let's talk to a good buddy. Let's talk to Ram on the north side, if you don't mind. What's up, Ram?
What's
up, Ram?
I was calling because I listened to something you said earlier, and I'm just going to talk about sports media, and I am an old school OG type guy, And I really question some of these new school guys that they give the mic to.
And Ram.
Go ahead. I'm here.
Radio background.
Okay.
Thank
you. Wow. This phone must be pretty good.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say is some of the stuff that they say on the air, like back in the old school days, it would never even be brought up. And I'm like, who gives some of these guys a pass? And especially when they haven't even played the sport that they're doing the announcing for. I mean, what grounds do they have to even say something?
Do you have, like, an example? I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I watch TNT, and they got Adam Schefter up there on Tuesday night with Shaq and Candace Parker and Dwayne Wade. And some of the things he said, now, I don't know if it's just for comedy to get likes or get more viewers, but I think a lot of times people just want to hear basketball stuff. So if it's something about a guy's past, high school, stuff like that. But all the other stuff that's being said, I don't think a lot of people that's really into sport really likes that. And the reason I say that is because what has happened with me and now, they really educate a lot of people who just get into a sport and they listen to those people to learn, you know, whether it's golf or basketball, football, stuff like that. Yeah, but then the other thing I was going to say was I was watching Utah and the Suns last night.
It was the best game of the year so far.
That's going to be the new wave of the Western Conference in the NBA. I think, and probably Denver, those three teams. And I think pretty much those other teams probably have fallen off the wayside. They got to play some catch-up. They looked really, really good last night. They played a good solid game. It was a very exciting game. You know, good scoring, the whole nine. And, Bart, I want to say this. The Bucks are not done yet. They got some more work to do. I don't know how you feel about that. I think the Drew signing was a part of it, but I think it's probably three more things left they got to do. I don't know how you feel about that, but from what I'm seeing,
we both want Middleton traded, so.
Yeah, I think that's almost a common thing. But even, and I'm gonna throw this at Ryan. If you got $581 million locked up, who will come to the Bucks? That's a solid player to play for a minimum.
Well, you got guys playing for the minimum all over the league. If they want a ring, they'll come play for the minimum. Thanks, Ram, for the call. Guys are giving money back to go play with Kevin Durant. You know?
Yeah. Well, okay, so, like, what kind of guys are we talking about? Are we talking about, like, guys on the vet minimum, like Blake Griffin? You know what drives me nuts? Have you been watching the Nets at all? Blake Griffin now has went back to, like, 2012 Blake Griffin. He could still dunk. And, I mean, like, I'm not talking, like, just... I mean, obviously, he's 6'9", right? So you're like, oh, well, obviously the guy could dunk. He doesn't have to jump. No, he's doing, like, dunk contest crap during games, like throwing the ball off the backboard again. That drives me nuts a little bit, to be quite honest. I don't really know what Ram was talking about. Do you?
No. Bootsy tweets in, did Ram just call in to ask you guys what you can do about Adam Schefter talking basketball on TNT?
I think I should have his job. How about that? No, I mean, what drives me nuts is, okay, so the Pistons, really quick on this, they committed all that money into Blake Griffin to lure him away from L.A. I mean, it was over in L.A. for him. He wasn't going back to the Clippers. But so he goes to Detroit, dude. They pay him all that money, and he sat atop of the key, and just shot threes and didn't play any defense.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I only shoot threes now.
And he's like, oh, just wait till you guys see. I still got it. Well, why didn't you bring it? When you were in Detroit for their fan base, they were spending all that money on you.
Yeah.
And you couldn't, like, same thing with, like, now all of a sudden, because you guys are all buddy.
Hey, Blake Griffin, more like Snake Griffin.
That's what I don't like about the league. No, Rams right about that game played last night, though, that Suns-Utah game. That was honestly one of the more well-played regular season basketball games I've seen in the last 3 to 4 years in the association.
Oh, I went to bed. I didn't see it.
Dude, it was a great game. Suns
so I fell asleep during the Brewers game, and then I went to bed early.
Chris Paul was ridiculous last night. He had 29 points. He scored 16 of those in the fourth quarter in overtime. He had 9 assists, and right now he's averaging the most assists His field goal percentage is higher, and his free throw percentage is the highest it's been since he was with the Clippers, and he's now 35 years old. So maybe the Bucks should have taken a look at Chris Paul, but that was a great game last night. I tweeted out, great regular season game between two really good teams that will eventually get smashed by a healthy LeBron and AD in the playoffs, because you know what the Lakers are doing, man. Even if AD, I know that they're going to reevaluate him, and LeBron has the high ankle sprain, even when they're ready to come back, unless they drop a bunch of games, because they're going to, the only thing they care about is avoiding the play-in. The Lakers do not want to play in the play-in. But if they have a top four, top five seed in the West, it don't matter. Those guys are not coming back until they are 150% healthy, and it's going to be really close to the playoffs. They're going to knock some rust off, and that's the smart way to do it. But they're not going to rush LeBron and AD back, meaning when we get to the playoffs, these teams that are beating the living hell out of each other in the regular season, playing in overtime, like we saw last night from Utah and Phoenix, they're going to run into a well-rested, healthy LeBron and AD, and the final result is going to be them getting smashed because LeBron James is the best player on the planet still, unfortunately.
Let's talk to Tony in Texas before I cut you high and dry. There's a game in Texas, Tony, so are you going?
So what's the latest injury report? What are y'all?
Giannis is doubtful and PJ Tucker's out.
So would you go for $100? Would you go see?
How far away do you live from Dallas?
30-minute drive.
Oh, I would go to every game that my teams were there.
Is Luka playing?
That's a good question.
I'd go. Go, Tony.
Hey, so I saw the injury report the other day. It's funny you guys are talking about falling asleep on the couch, and I thought to myself, if the Bucks are not going to try to win this game against the Warriors, to hell with it. So I just went to Top Golf, and after Top Golf was kind of tired, didn't even turn on the Bucks game. Turned on HBO Max and watched the Kaley Cuoco Show flight attendant. Fell asleep on the couch. Didn't have any kind of stress, no care in the world. Didn't care about the Bucks score. And I checked in the morning. I'm like, they lost by one. So that's kind of, it's going to be my approach tonight if Giannis isn't playing. I don't know. I don't want to watch the Bucks if they're not going to try to win. They got to try to get that one seed. If they don't want to get the one seed, then why do I care about the regulars? Why should I care about the Bucks when the Bucks care about the Bucks?
Right.
Yeah, you tell them.
Why would you? I mean.
Want the one seed. They're going to end up being the three, and they're going to end up playing the Nets in the second round, and they're going to get bounced. Stupid.
And then the only way is if we win the war and Bud gets fired. That is the only good that could come out of that. And I don't want that to happen. I want to win a title, but they got to try to win these games. That's pathetic. I watched I DVR'd the game and I watched it, but that was pathetic the way they lost to the Warriors.
Yeah, it was the worst 7 seconds of basketball since I last played basketball.
Hey, and did you teach Chris Middleton some like dribbling drills with his feet or something, some soccer drills from Final? Like the guy's bouncing the ball off his foot.
Yeah, well, he doesn't have a basketball hoop at his house, so he was playing soccer instead.
Hey, Ryan, Bart, they get so nonchalant with the ball. They're just turning it over. They don't give a damn. That's me. As a fan, I want them to give a damn, try to win these games. And I know they had the one seed the last couple of years, but they really need the one seed this year. They're going to get knocked out in the second round.
Yeah, I'm worried about that too, Tony. Let us know if you go tonight or not.
Well, if I go, they got a Nobu sushi. When the Bucks come in town, I try to make it a nice event. And, you know, with no fans, it's not as much fun, or limited fans. So I was planning on maybe hitting Nobu before the game and have some sushi to watch the Bucks, but no Giannis, man, that's tough.
Yeah, no yeah. Giannis, no Boo. You're right.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen. Have a good evening or a good day, and I'll talk to y'all later.
Okay, Tony, our Texas correspondent.
I struggle to watch games without Giannis, to be quite like, okay, so if Drew and Middleton are gonna go, that's cool, but yeah, I really have a hard time. Do you feel like this? I have a hard time getting up for the games where Giannis isn't going to play, and especially like bigger matchups. You know, like against Dallas, I want to see Giannis and Luka. Against LA, I want to see Giannis and LeBron. Even if Middleton and Drew are going to play, you know, it's still a very good Bucks team. I don't get up for it the same way. Like, I tune in every night to watch Giannis, and that's what I miss. Really,
Giannis.
That's what I miss. I will say, though, about like growing up in the 90s. Bart, I don't know if you know this. I was a huge 90s basketball fan, loved the 95-96 Bulls.
Yeah,
what I liked about the 95-96 Bulls is I knew every single night, all 82 games and in the playoffs, Michael Jordan was never going to use load management. Scottie Pippen was never going to use load management. Shaq was a big man, the biggest man. 7'1", 350 pounds, especially those early Orlando days where he wasn't even working out. How much load management was he using? None. Hakeem.
Shaq paid for a guy's engagement ring the other day.
Detlef Schrempf. How much load management was he using? Sasha Danilovich. Dino Raja. That's my problem with the NBA is like, you're getting paid, play. Now, this isn't towards Giannis, but is Giannis hurt or is he injured?
Like, I don't know. Get some more. I don't know. That's a good question. They say it's his knee, and you know they've used his knee the last few years when he's been hurt. I don't know if it's really bad or if it's just something they say. But right now, doubtful for Giannis tonight. PJ Tucker, I think he's just kind of waiting for the playoffs at this point. He's out again. Hey, we were going to talk about Keston Hira. We're going to give him a pass today.
Okay.
We'll do that tomorrow because right now he's 0-for-19 with 10 Ks. So we'll see if he plays today. And if he doesn't get a hit today, we're gonna go in hard on Keston Hira, okay?
So, or at least, I don't know about that. We're going to trade him for my fantasy baseball team. I think that's as hard as we're going to go.
I would say
him.
Buy low on Keston. I would say the opposite.
I don't know. He's killing my team right now. Do you want Masters picks or are you good?
I feel like you already gave me your Masters picks.
I got a couple more for you real quick.
Do you have Hudson Swafford? Because I do, and he's 2-under through 4.
No, but I have Paul Casey to finish in the top 10. I have Bryson to finish in the top 10. And then you're getting plus 180 on Rory to finish just in the top 10. I don't know if Rory wins it this weekend, but every single year he's in contention. So plus 185 on that as well. I love Rory to crack the top 10. I'm rooting for him this weekend, even if it costs me money. I just want Rory to get this green jacket, man. Him and Shooter McGavin, two of the best golfers that never win the green jacket, in my opinion.
I've got $9,000 on Dylan Fratelli. He's 2-over.
He's 2-over already? What is it, the third? I don't even have it on my television yet. I'm waiting. So the best thing, and another thing I'll recommend real quick, there's a couple apps that I want to recommend. Bart, tell everybody about the new app that they should download if they haven't yet.
Well, it's called Odyssey.
You're damn right it's called Odyssey. And what could you find on it? All your podcasts that you crave on Odyssey.
The Radio.com app. Is now Odyssey. Are you going to let the music bed expire?
Oh, I don't hear the music bed when I'm.
Oh, you
there,
should.
But... How no, about I now? Don't. That's the problem. There it is.
All right. See ya.
See ya, dude.